Happy Mother's Day, everyone. Good morning. I so want to thank God for all of our moms. And whether we can celebrate with your mom, if you get to celebrate with your mom in person or on Zoom or on the phone, or whether maybe she's already passed away like mine has, we can honor our moms and really thank them for loving us, for sacrificing for us, and teaching us so many things. I remember some really special moments with my mom singing. She used to rock me to sleep in the rocking chair when I was a baby, and she'd sing to me. But as I got older, she kept doing it until I was maybe two or three. And I think she finally realized this wasn't a really effective way to rock me to sleep because I would sing with her. So I wasn't really falling asleep. But I'm so grateful for that time to do that. And something else I remember is that she taught me her favorite hymns. And by the time that I, you know, kind of grew up and was starting to go to the main service instead of the children's church, my church really wasn't singing hymns most of the time anymore. So I really feel grateful that I got to learn them from her. And I have to say that it's really from my mom that I learned to love singing and that I learned to love singing praise and worship to God. I learned that, but I know not everyone enjoys singing as much as I do. Some of you might agree with C.S. Lewis when he said, "What I, like many other laymen, chiefly desire in church are fewer, better, and shorter hymns, especially fewer." I realize that, like C.S. Lewis, for some of you, singing in church may not be your cup of tea. But as I continue the sermon series I've been preaching this year on praise and worship, I'd like us to focus on singing as an important form of worship. Knowing that some Christians love singing and others have less of an affinity for it, it's really important to understand the purpose of singing in worship and how we can further incorporate singing into our own worship as we worship God. I've learned a lot from a book called True Worshipers by Bob Coughlin, and many of the ideas from today's sermon come from this book. But let's get started today by answering the question, why do we sing in worship? Or what's the point of singing? Well, the first reason is that there's nearly 50 commands or exhortations in Scripture that call us to sing. Psalm 47 to 6 and 7 is one example. The NIV version of this verse says, "Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise." That's five commands to sing right there. That's enough for me. I mean, we could stop right here, but I won't because I believe God has a lot that he wants us to hear today about singing and why we do it. You know, every believer has a reason to sing because God has saved and redeemed them. And throughout Scripture, we see different people singing because of God's works of salvation and deliverance. After God delivered Israel from the Egyptian army, the people sang. Exodus 15, 1 and 2 in the NIV says, "Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him." They were so happy, so full of joy to be alive, to be free from the Egyptians, that all they could do was sing. King David also felt that it was so important. I mean, we know throughout Psalms and as we read about him singing to God, but he also appointed Levites to continually sing and praise God with music in the tent of the tent that housed the Ark of the Covenant. And this was the place of worship before Solomon built the temple. So in 1 Chronicles 9:33 in the NIV, it says, "Those who were musicians, heads of Levite families, stayed in the rooms of the temple and were exempt from other duties because they were responsible for the work day and night." They were responsible to sing and play music to the Lord day and night. That was all they did. And 1 Chronicles 16:1, 4, 7, and 9 says, "They brought the Ark of God and set it inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And they presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before God. He appointed some of the Levites to minister before the Ark of the Lord, to extol, thank, and praise the Lord, the God of Israel. That day, David first appointed Asaph and his associates to give praise to the Lord in this manner. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. So they were continually singing about how God saves and redeems his people. And in the New Testament, Paul and Silas sang praise to God in what might seem like one of the most unlikely circumstances. They'd been preaching in Philippi, and there was a slave girl who kept following them because she was possessed by a demon and would continually shout things like, "These are servants of the Most High God telling you how to be saved." And Paul and Silas got really annoyed, so they finally just cast the demon out. But this caused a huge uproar because her masters made tons of money on her work as a fortune teller. So that didn't go so well for Paul and Silas. So let's see what happened to them in Acts 16, 23 to 26 in the NIV. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. Paul and Silas were singing about their spiritual salvation, but it led to their physical salvation and deliverance. And the last example I want to share is that in heaven, so this hasn't fully happened yet, but in heaven, Jesus will be worshiped because of his work of salvation. Revelation 5:9 in the NIV says, "And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation.'" Bob Coughlin, the author of the True Worshippers book that I mentioned earlier, explains the reason for our song of redemption this way. If you no longer have to fear eternal separation from God, if death is merely the doorway to unspeakable joy, if sin has been conquered, hell is overcome, and Jesus has saved you to enjoy unending pleasures at God's right hand, then you have a song to sing. And it's a song that no trial, no disease, no struggle, no persecution, no power on earth or in hell can stop. We all have a reason to sing. But another reason we sing is because all three persons of the Trinity are connected with song. The Father sings over his people. We see this in Zephaniah 3:17 in the NIV. It says, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." I love that. That verse just encourages me as I remember that, wow, my Father, my Heavenly Father, rejoices over me and he sings over me. Jesus, the Son, also sang with his disciples after the Last Supper. In Matthew 26:30, it says, "When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." So Jesus, that was part of his practice, part of his discipleship with his disciples, was singing. And singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs is tied to being filled with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 5:19, in the NIV, it says, "Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord." When the Holy Spirit is living inside us, which the Holy Spirit lives inside every believer, he wants to fill our hearts with song. So God wants us to sing because he sings. But now we know why God wants us to sing. So let's look at some of the purposes of singing by answering the question, what does singing do for us? What are the benefits of singing? We're going to start to talk about this by looking at a couple of scriptures that really talk a little bit more about what singing does. So the first one is Ephesians 5:18 through 20 in the NIV. It says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So rather than seeking to feel good by filling ourselves with wine or some other substance and getting drunk. God calls us to be filled up with the Holy Spirit. And in this verse, it's talking about being influenced by or governed by the Spirit of God living inside of us. And then singing just seems to be a natural outflow of being filled with the Spirit. And this verse also calls us to engage with each other by singing, and we're supposed to sing to God from our hearts with gratitude. The other verse I want us to look at is Colossians 3:15-17. This is also from the NIV. It says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." We'll talk a little more about this verse in a minute, but when it talks about letting the word of Christ dwell in us, it's talking about the gospel message. It's the word of Christ, it's scripture that is supposed to dwell in us and among us as the body of Christ. Well, the first thing that singing does for us is it's an expression of the Holy Spirit's work in our heart, and it encourages that work to continue. Although it's a blessing, we actually don't need the worship team to help us get in the mood to sing or help us warm up, because the Spirit in us wants to fill our hearts and our mouths with songs of thanksgiving and joy. The Spirit in us wants us to well up with song of gratitude and joy. Something else that singing does is it helps us remember God's word. It helps us to do what Colossians 3 says when it says to let the word of Christ dwell in us. From a scientific perspective, I saw actually in the book I was reading that Dr. Oliver Sacks, who has studied the effects of music on the brain, said that every culture has songs and rhymes to help children remember the alphabet, numbers, and other lists. And even as adults, we're limited in our ability to memorize series or to hold them in mind unless we use mnemonic devices or patterns. And the most powerful of these devices are rhyme, meter, and song. How many of you remember the lyrics to your favorite songs growing up? Probably a lot of us do. And we probably remember the words to some songs that we don't even like because music just has that effect. So why not work on remembering worship songs that speak the truth of the gospel, or set some Bible verses to a tune that you like? That way you're helping yourself to let the word of Christ dwell inside you, because it's something you can keep remembering on and focusing on. Something else that singing does is it helps us to teach and learn God's word and the gospel message. Colossians 3, as we saw earlier, tells us to teach and admonish each other through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So because worship songs are a form of teaching, worship leaders carry the burden of selecting songs that are in line with scripture and in line with the theology of their church. When we sing the song "Battle Belongs" that Matt has been leading us in recently, we're remembering and really being taught that scripture teaches us to bring our problems to the Lord in prayer, to fight on our knees, as the song says. And as we do that, as we bring these situations to God, that also helps us remember another truth from scripture, that the battle belongs to you, as the song says, or the battle belongs to the Lord. Also, when we sing the song "Build My Life," and we sing the lyrics, "I will build my life on you alone. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken." We're teaching each other not to build our lives on or put our trust in money, status, people's opinions, or anything else, to fully build our lives on Christ. Something else that singing does is it helps us express and engage our emotions, because I'm just going to guess for a lot of you, if you hear a certain song, it links to a certain memory, and then you just start to feel what you were feeling at that time. This example will probably seem strange, but whenever I hear the song "Country Road" by John Denver, I get a feeling of nostalgia, and I remember living in Thailand. I think John Denver was popular in Asia because I used to hear it a bunch there. That's where I learned it. I didn't know the song prior to moving there, but taxi drivers would play it when I got in their taxi. A lot of my Filipino friends would sing it and some other John Denver songs. But just thinking about that song just really starts to bring up emotions in me, starts to give me this sense of like, oh yeah, what a great time and what a wonderful season of life that was. And some people say that music is the language of the heart. I agree. I mean, music moves us. Can you imagine one of, you know, the classic movies or a movie that you love without a soundtrack? So much of the movie would be lost if there was no music. And just another example is singing often takes us to a place that talking does not. I mean, imagine if we weren't singing the words, "How great thou art," and we just said it to God. Probably it just doesn't have the same feeling. And since God calls us to love him with all of our hearts, not just our minds and bodies, singing helps us really do that. It helps us engage our emotions. And I know some people would say, you know, we don't want to get caught up in the moment and just enjoy the song without really focusing on God. And I completely agree. But that doesn't mean that feeling emotions in God's presence is unscriptural. We want to avoid emotionalism, but not all emotions. God gave us emotions, so they're a part of worshiping him. And something else singing does is it encourages us and allows us to participate and not just be observers of worship, because worship music is not a performance. We're all called to participate. And so singing is a great way to do that. And right now, as we're not meeting in person, we don't all have the same opportunities we usually have to participate in the worship service because we don't get to be ushers or greeters or coffee servers, probably other things too, but something we can all do is we can participate by singing. Singing also encourages physical expressiveness. And I'm not going to spend a long time here because I know I preached about that in my last sermon, but just as a reminder, you know, if we're singing the songs, "I surrender all," you may decide to lift your hands in surrender to God. Or if you're singing about how holy and awesome God is, you might be moved to kneel or bow down before God. Singing can have that powerful effect as we're worshiping. The last thing that singing does is it helps us express our unity with the church. Because when we're all singing the same words at the same time, we're acting as one. We're expressing the same thoughts and passions to God and to each other. And one of the most heartfelt acts of worship, maybe a sing along with a song that you wouldn't choose because you know that it helps someone else to really learn about God or experience God's presence. Revelation 5:13 in the NIV also speaks to this unity of singing to God together. It says, "Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.'" Kind of throughout that whole section of that chapter, it starts out by talking about singing and then in heaven and how it's going to continue on through every creature in the whole earth. And, you know, we don't know what the music in heaven will sound like, but we know everyone will sing the same song of praise to God. But what if you don't feel ready to sing along with every creature in heaven and earth to praise God because you don't really have an affinity for singing? Well, let's talk this through, figure it out by answering the question, how can you change your perspective about singing? One thing you can do, and that we can do as a church, is to adopt this idea from this quote that I read. This is a perfection-free zone, musically, morally, spiritually, every way you can think of. Do not be afraid to join us. And this doesn't mean that we don't seek to become more like Christ, but it does mean that we realize that even though God didn't give all of us a talent for singing, he wants us all to participate. And so we want to welcome everybody and invite them all to join us, everyone who comes through our doors or who joins our meetings. Something else that we can do just to help us kind of keep moving forward and trying to learn how to maybe be a little bit more involved with singing when it comes to worshiping God is to realize the Bible tells us to make a joyful noise. God calls the trees to clap their hands and the rocks to cry out. And that means he also calls us to make a joyful noise. It doesn't have to be a beautiful noise, but it's supposed to be joyful. Psalm 101 in the King James Version says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." And as I thought about that, the truth is there's no spiritual gift of singing. You can look through all the lists of spiritual gifts in the Bible. Singing is not one of them. Yes, God does give people a special talent or gift for singing, but that's not really something that, you know, God sort of calls as like all of us to do well. The truth is, it doesn't matter to God how you sound, especially if you're just alone in your time with God doing your devotions, or if you're singing with the whole group of us all together at church. What God really cares about is what's coming from your heart. He cares about your love for him and your obedience to his commands, one of which is to sing. Something else you could do is to just choose a few worship songs to sing and really learn in your own devotional time with the Lord. Just like prayer, fasting, giving, and reading the Bible are spiritual disciplines that take a lot of practice, you can practice singing and make it a discipline if it's not something that you naturally enjoy. One more thing I want to just challenge you to do is to try not to rely on the lyrics posted on the screens during worship if you already know the songs. Instead, close your eyes and sing them from your heart, just focusing on the Lord. And if you're still learning the words, try to just look at each line, just one line at a time, and then try to sing that line from memory to God. And then you can just look back. But try to do that instead of getting so focused on having the lyrics just right. Instead, really try to focus on the Lord as you are singing. As you think about how you can grow in singing to the Lord, I want you to ask yourself how often you crank up your favorite song in the car and sing along. Or have you ever gone to see your favorite band play and ended up singing along with the crowd to your favorite songs? Most of us will sing along to our favorite songs, or we'll even sing to our kids or our grandkids. But when it comes to singing to the Lord, some of us hold back. I want to encourage you today to remember all the reasons you have to sing, and remember how singing helps us grow in our faith. I want to challenge you to submit to God and draw near to God through singing, whether on your own or with our church family. I want to close today with a quote from the theologian Karl Barth. He said, "The Christian church sings. It is not a choral society. Its singing is not a concert. But from the inner material necessity, it sings. Singing is the highest form of human expression. What we can and must say quite confidently is that the church which does not sing is not the church." As I said earlier, singing is something God does, and it's something God's people do. Not because we're trying to perform or put on a show, but God's people sing because they need to, because sometimes it's the only way to fully express what we feel towards God. Let's pray. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, thank you for going before us, for setting the example of singing. Thank you for all the ways that you created us to sing and how singing helps us, Lord, to remember your word. It helps us to teach each other and learn from each other as we sing songs of worship that reinforce what your word says. I pray today, as we are all probably in different places, whether we're people who really love and enjoy singing or we're people who are still trying to kind of figure out how to enjoy it, when it comes to worship, I pray, God, that you'd meet us where we're at. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each of us to just open our hearts to be willing to maybe take a next step to try something new, or just to ask you, God, to open our hearts to help us to engage more with singing when it comes to worship, because above all, you call us to, but also there's so much value in it. I pray, Lord, that you would guide each of us today, Lord, as we leave, as we go into our community groups or whatever we have planned for the rest of the day. I pray you'd bless each mom, bless each person, God, wherever they're at today with Mother's Day, if they're missing their mom or if they are struggling maybe with a relationship with their mom or wishing they could be a mom. Lord, you know what each person needs today. So I pray that you would just encourage each of us and help us to be a blessing to our families, Lord, and to people around us as we just continue, Lord, worshiping you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.